It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori, and I'm delighted to say hello to Jason Birnbaum, Director of Instruction at Manhattan Woods Golf Club in West Nyack, New York. He's been working with PGA Tour star Chris Goddard since Chris was 14 years old, and Chris has had amazing results in the last couple months, most notably winning the Genesis Scottish Open on Sunday, July 13th, and then a week later finishing in solo third place at the Open Championship at Royal Port Rush. Jason, welcome to Talking Golf.
Good morning, Ann. Thank you for having me.
Hey, congrats on all of Chris's success. I'm sure you work with a ton of different people, but let's start from the beginning. Tell us how you first connected with Chris and what has your working relationship been like through the years?
Sure, yeah, it was great. Chris's dad, Morton, found me quite a while ago. Chris was probably around 14, and, you know, they signed up for a lesson. I didn't know who Chris was or know much about him, and, you know, he was just another person on the schedule that day. I was teaching at Alpine Country Club back then, and it was actually in the winter time, which was interesting because I was teaching indoors on a golf simulator, and this kid walks in and starts ripping shots into the simulator, and you know, obviously it's simulation, so you can't really, you know, get an accurate depiction of what's happening, but the technology back then was decent enough to, you know, I could see this kid was had a lot of speed and lots of power, and, you know, he was really a raw talent, and he was bombing it, so I was kind of excited to see where that could go, and yeah, it led to a 14 years later, a Scottish Open win, so it was pretty cool. But when we first started, it's interesting, it was actually a blessing getting to work with him indoors to start, because when you're indoors, you really just can't focus on much other than the golf swing, right? There's no short game, you can't see the ball flight, you're not playing a golf course. So it really gave us an opportunity to just get into sort of the nuts and bolts of the swing and not worry too much about where the ball was going. And being able to get off to a start like that with a talented player for the first 2 months was really pretty cool. And actually, to be honest with you, I've done that with some students over the years where I've actually started with them indoors because it's just, you know, seeing my experience with Chris and how much more productive it was to start in that environment gave me that idea. But yeah, it's been great to watch, you know, how good he's gotten over the years. But starting indoors like that back then was pretty cool.
That must have been such a cool experience. In the middle of winter, you're saying, and here comes this kid who's just bombing the ball. Did he have any fundamentals at that point?
Yeah, I mean, he was just kind of all over the place. He would shoot, you know, good scores in the low 70s, and he would shoot scores, you know, in the high 80s. So there was a big range. He probably at that point wasn't, you know, 100% dedicated and focused on golf. He was playing lacrosse at that time, which I think really helped him from a speed and power standpoint when it comes to golf. And things like the driver, for example, like you could see how much speed and power there was, but, you know, it was hard for him to control the driver. And then, you know, finesse parts of the game like chipping and wedge play were areas that needed, you know, a lot of attention. So we got into it. We started working on really all areas, and we had that couple month head start until we, you know, got outside that spring and, you know, I was actually able to see his ball flight. But yeah, it was pretty fascinating.
That is so fascinating for sure. And I know people in golf know of Chris, and particularly in New Jersey, his father won several New Jersey State Golf Association tournaments, right?
That's correct. Yep. He's a great player. Yep.
So, I mean, I read where Chris played varsity golf at Christian Brothers Academy and then at Rutgers from 2017 to 2021. Then he transferred to University of Oklahoma. And obviously, when he transferred, you guys stayed connected, right?
Correct. Yeah, we did. So, you know, he didn't have an amazing junior golf career. So there weren't a ton of colleges that were really interested, and Rutgers was. Coach Schutte there did a great job recruiting him, and putting him in that sort of team environment at Rutgers was really big for him. You know, being on having a little bit more structure to his schedule, getting into the gym, playing great golf courses that we have here in the Northeast, and he really started to become a more well-rounded player. Chris has talked quite a bit about the amount of weight that he lost his sophomore year. Chris lost like probably 40 pounds around his sophomore year of college, and that really sort of just catapulted him. He started to swing the club better. He started to play at another level sort of that summer of sophomore year. He dominated, you know, golf in the Met area in that summer of sophomore year. And he really sort of took off. And his next couple of years at Rutgers were outstanding. And then, you know, he got a lucky break with the COVID year. So he got an extra year of eligibility. And he transferred to Oklahoma. And that took him to just another whole new level. Oklahoma was number one team in the country. And Coach Hibble has an amazing program there. And, you know, it's very windy in Oklahoma. The ground is firm. It's a different level of competition. So he, you know, learning to play in the wind there, that was actually, you know, really big for him. And he just became, you know, he took his ball striking really to another level. Chris actually commented after he won the Scottish that it was, you know, it was kind of like playing golf in Oklahoma, just with the way the wind was and the ground and how he had to shape shots and things like that. But yeah, we kept in touch, obviously, when he was at Rutgers. You know, I saw him quite a bit because, he was in New Jersey. And Oklahoma, I made a trip out to Oklahoma once or twice to see him. And, he came home enough over the holidays and, you know, we would do virtual lessons throughout that time. And Chris is, he's always been sort of a, what's the right word? You know, he's not very needy in terms of when it comes to, you know, needing help all the time. So when Chris is in a groove and he's got things going, I mean, he can really, you know, he's not high maintenance when it comes to needing a lot of work. So, you know, there would be times where we didn't talk for a couple weeks and, you know, he'd shoot me a text and says, it feels great. You know, this is what I got going. He sent me a video. I say, it looks great. You know, love the thought, you know, and then you may not hear from him for a couple weeks. So that's kind of how it was back in college, and he was the number one player in the country on the number one team in the country, and that gave him a lot of confidence coming out of school.
And I love the fact that he learned how to play in the wind in Oklahoma. That is just so crucial.
Yeah, that was big.
And obviously helped him in Scotland and in Northern Ireland. And he won, by the way, two of the biggest awards that a college golfer can win when he was at Oklahoma, the Haskins Award and the Jack Nicklaus Award. So
yes,
people in golf were really seeing him emerge. And so tell me, what was going through your mind when you saw Chris win the Scottish? Not only win it, but outplaying Rory McIlroy head-to-head in the final round.
Cool. Yeah, amazing. I mean, that was just the best of the best. I mean, he just doesn't get better than that. It was, you know, to do it over there and to do it in those conditions, it was just such a, like a beautiful weekend out there, and to do it against, you know, one of the best players in the world and sort of a hometown hero in Rory was special. You know, I knew, you know, we're both of us. I mean, everyone on his team, Chris has got a great team around him, and everyone, you know, sort of knows what he's capable of. And, you know, until he does it, you know, obviously there's always going to be a little doubt in people's minds, but I thought he'd play well that day. You know, a lot of people were asking me on Saturday night before the Scottish final round, you know, can Chris handle this pairing? How's he going to deal with this pressure? And that never really crossed my mind that he would have a difficult time handling the pressure. He's got a bit of a fearless to him that has, you know, served him well. And I didn't think that would get to him. He'd played in big moments like that before. He had already won on tour, and, you know, he finished, you know, fourth place at the John Deere when he had, you know, really just gotten out of college, which was a big deal, winning those top awards. So, yeah, I thought he was prepared for it, and I wasn't really surprised, to be honest. I thought he could do it, and I was happy to see him get it done.
So what do you think is the biggest difference in Chris's game in, say, the last couple months?
Yeah, I would say just overall consistency. All areas of his game have gotten a little bit better. I would say the driver, though, is number one. You know, Chris has lots of clubhead speed. He hits the ball really far. He's one of the longest hitters, really, in the world. And when he's driving
it, what's his average now off the tee?
His club speed average is probably around 127 miles an hour, and Chris is flying at about 330 on a normal one. And, you know, when it's firm and fast conditions on tour, you know, 330, 335 in the air is going to go, it's going to be, go over 350. It's going to go 350
crazy.
To 360, which is a lot. So
that's
when
a
he's
lot.
Hitting the fairway, you know, he's going to have lots of wedges in his hands, and over an 18-hole period, he's going to be tough to beat. And when he's not hitting the fairway, he's hitting it so far that he's just much closer to the green, and he's a strong kid. So, you know, playing from the rough is not something that he's afraid to do. But I would say over the last few months, he's driven the ball really well. He had struggled with the driver late last year and early this year. But the driver has gotten much, much more consistent. And his short game has also have been at another level these last couple weeks, especially the events he played in Scotland and Northern Ireland. His chipping and putting were great. He had really putted pretty solid most of the year, but just not making enough. And they've just, these last couple weeks, they've really just, the putts have started to drop, and that's what it's all about. And now he's got lots of confidence, and confidence in golf is a dangerous thing for guys at that level.
Sure. I mean, do you think he thinks he's caught lightning in a bottle, or do you think this is going to be somewhat the norm for Chris Gutterup?
No. I think that this would be somewhat the norm. I mean, he's really been trending. He's had lots of consistency, really, the last 3 months. He's finished between 12th and 28th place in almost every event he's played, and he's made something like 11 out of 12 of the last cuts, and the one cut he missed up in Canada was just by one shot. So there's just, he's really just been trending in the right direction for a while now. This is not, you know, just been a 2 week thing. The only difference is he's putted well these last 2 weeks, and, you know, putting is not something that's easy to always be, you know, they're not always going to fall for you, but I would not call this lightning in a bottle. I think Chris has shown that he's been much more consistent, and he also has the game and the power to keep this going.
So he's currently number 20 in the Ryder Cup rankings, which is higher than Jordan Spieth, higher than Billy Horschel, higher than Max Grazerman, Ryan Gerard, Jake Knapp, Max Homa, Ricky Fowler. What have you talked to him about that? What are his thoughts about that?
You know, we haven't really. I think it's only kind of been on his radar more of late. I've mentioned even after winning in Scotland, I don't think that really was on his mind. After he played well at Port Rush, I think, you know, obviously that started to be a hot topic of conversation, and Chris is, you know, certainly hears it. So it's on his mind now, and let's see. I mean, he knows he's got work to do. You know, everyone's saying if it was tomorrow, he would be on the team, but it's not tomorrow. So we've got to, it's like, you know, he's got certain goals. I think for right now, he really wants to get to the Tour Championship. He's a lock for these next two playoff events. And, you know, he's pretty close to getting into the Tour Championship. So first and foremost, we want to get to that last week of the year and give himself a good chance at the final. But, yeah, he's right in the mix, and I think he's up for it. He's been up to the challenge quite a bit this year. So let's see if he can get it done. I think he's got to play consistent golf here in the playoffs, and I think that he will.
Well, I mean, somewhat overnight, to maybe the general golf public, he has become a big star because of his play at the Scottish and the Open. I mean, you've known his abilities for years now, but how is he dealing with this increase in attention and, you know, all the distractions that come with, you know, winning like that?
Yeah, he's been great. I was with Chris in Minnesota the week after the Open Championship, and it was definitely, that's probably the maybe 12th or 13th event that I've been to with Chris this year. And you could tell the difference in Minnesota. I mean, there's a little bit of a different level of respect from the other players. There is, you know, more players coming over to say hello to him and congratulate him and talk to him. And the reaction from the fans was totally different in Minnesota, the autograph requests, the interview requests. And I'll tell you, he hasn't skipped a beat. I mean, he has been just this usual Chris Gutterup. He hasn't changed a thing. His demeanor out there was fantastic. The way that he's handled the whole situation has been great. And, you know, he's kind of a low-key guy, and he's been really good. He hasn't changed much. He's got a really, really good team around him, and I think, you know, the support there has definitely been helpful. And, yeah, he's just kind of enjoying the moment right now and the opportunities that he's got in front of him really these next couple months.
Real quick, last question. Wyndham Championship, Cameron Young, another Met area professional. He'll take that five-shot lead into the final round today, Jason. He's been a runner-up 7 times. No wins to date on the PGA Tour yet. What would you say to Cameron?
Yeah, I mean, just keep doing what you're doing, right? I've seen Cameron out there almost every week I've gone out. And kid's working hard. You know, his dad's been with him every step of the way, and they're always grinding on the range, and you know, he's right there. So, you know, don't change a thing, and, you know, be confident and keep doing what you're doing, because he's certainly been in command this week. He's a great player. I mean, he's one of the best players in the world, especially when he's on his game. And like we've talked about with Chris, there's so much confidence involved. These guys are all, you know, all great players to get to that level. And it's just a matter of, you know, feeling good and being in the right frame of mind and seeing some putts go in. And that's what he's done this week. And I think he'll play really solid today.
Jason, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for your insight and continued success.
You got it. Thanks for having me on, Ann. I appreciate it. Have a great day.